Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Gold Standard. I'm Alex Garowski, your Minnesota Daily Sports Editor, and I'm joined here today with campus activities reporter, Ahmed, and the producer of The Gold Standard, Cece. What's up, guys?
Hello.
How you doing, Alex?
I'm so well. I'm so glad you asked. But yeah, it's been a while. I mean, we've been trying to figure out, just reevaluating the podcast, figuring some things out. But, you know, we're back. We're here. Podcast isn't going anywhere. We just made a couple tweaks. Anyway, yeah, so in that time, a lot of Gopher sports have happened. So let's get right into it. Gopher football lost to Rutgers, but it didn't seem like the loss affected them all too much. They were ranked number 5 in the Big Ten going into that game, and I believe they're still ranked number 5. Ahmed, you got any thoughts on that game?
I think the biggest area of concern for me was 35 rushing yards. I mean, you look at this team, you know they're a running team.
Yeah.
they're a running
classic
team.
Classic Gopher football.
Classic Gopher football, and I mean, you got Darius Taylor, so you expect them to really emphasize on the run game. So seeing that stat is concerning to me. It is, especially in this game against Rutgers that, you know, you'd put the Gophers as favorites in, but it is a typical Minnesota game to lose. You know, when all the odds are in your favor, you know, Minnesota always tends to, you know, go yeah. the other way of the odds, mm-hmm. and they more so disappoint. But that's the biggest concern to me. I felt like, other than that, it wasn't a terrible game. I felt they did good in the pass game, but that run game just needs to be better.
You hit it right on the money. Like, the Gophers have this tendency to win games that they shouldn't and lose games they should win. And it was kind of like a back-and-forth matchup, but, like, it kind of seems like they took Rutgers for granted throughout the entire game.
I agree. And, I mean, I think that's just in any sport, you can't take your opponent for granted. You just can't. That's just that's a fact. Like, you got to play every game like it's your last game. But, I mean, I was impressed with Brosmer. I mean, 27 completes for 45 attempts. It wasn't a bad game. His QB rating was about 88.45, so about 88%. He didn't have a terrible game, but again, only one touchdown.
Yeah, it seems like, especially if you're Avin Kelly, like Manassi, I think he really wanted to win this game. And our football beat reporter, Andrew, was saying that, like, they dodged every single question about Kelly Manis at the pregame or the midweek press conference. He was asking them about it, and they just didn't want to, like, address it or acknowledge it at all. Which is kind of typical media and PJ Fleck and all that jazz, but
yeah, but I mean, you can definitely tell there's some frustrations. And I mean, I don't think they're going to think too hardly on this one, but I think they need to reassess some things, in my opinion, because you can't go from beating all these top teams and going on such a good run to losing to a team like Rutgers when Minnesota's having a really good progressive streak right now. It's not really the best look, and it's not a good consistent factor that you want to build this program off of. Obviously, there's some, you know, things that happen along the way, but if you want to be a top contender, you got to win those games and you got to dominate in those games. Consistency is everything.
Right. Fortunately for the Gophers, they'll have this week a bye week. So they don't have any games this weekend. I guess by the time you're listening to this, last weekend, they do play Penn State. It's their next matchup. It'll be a home matchup, final home game for the Gophers before going over to Wisconsin for their final game of the season, which is on Black Friday this year. Kind of interesting. It'll be a new thing, I guess.
Well, I think Penn State's going to be a really good game, and Wisconsin, we're going to have to wait and see what happens with that one. But I think Penn State's really going to be a deciding factor of how they'll go into that Wisconsin game, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, if you were to ask me, as a student of this university, I would hope that the Gophers win every single game, every single year. But obviously, the sports is sports, and anything can happen. But I don't think they'll beat Penn State, but I think it'll be a pretty close game against Wisconsin, and I think there's opportunity to beat them there, especially after losing the Axe last season at home. I think they're going to want some revenge.
I'm just going to say this. I think the Gophers have too much to prove. Yeah. I think they have a chip on their shoulder at home in front of their fans after the Rutgers game. I mean, when you're back home after a good away stretch, you have something to prove.
That's true.
I think they're going to come out and they're going to do what they should have done. And right. I think Darius Taylor is going to have a much better game than he did against Rutgers.
I believe he's hurt right now, but he's got the bye week to kind of recover.
Exactly, and that's kind of why I'm thinking he'll be back, because if he didn't have the bye week, it'd be a little more questionable, but I think he'll be back for the Penn State game, and I think he wants to be back for the Penn State game. If you know, I call these players dogs, and I think Darius Taylor fits into the category of a dog on this team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Yeah, I guess time will tell. Also, I totally forgot to mention that Cece is here, and she's listening. She's on the podcast, but she will be strictly speaking about the WNBA.
She's our expert.
So let's talk about volleyball. They played Washington and Oregon. They were upset by Washington in four sets, and then they were swept by Oregon. What do we think?
It's not fun losing two games in a row. I mean, when this team has had a good home record. They were 7-1 going into this game at home, or into these two matches. And to, you know, lose two in a row, like, at home, it raises some concerns. That's what I'm going to say. It raises some concerns because they're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still above 500. They're still ranked. They still have a good record. But, I mean, at home is just... You know, one loss, fine, it happens. But I think two losses, and especially, you know, 3-0 against Oregon, it raises questions. And I think when something's raising questions, you need to reevaluate what happened.
Yeah, and Emmett, our volleyball beat reporter, was saying that Keegan Cook was a little upset after the Oregon match. It's kind of the time of year where all students are just kind of, like, going through it right now with finals coming up, and it's kind of the end of the semester, but, like, not really. We still got quite some time, but... He said that, I believe, just volleyball is kind of what they have to keep at the forefront, and they kind of just, like, didn't really... It's hard to focus on volleyball when they're students.
100%. I mean, I think people forget, you know, on top of being athletes, they are students. They have mental health, too, and I think when you're juggling so many things at once, it can get complicated, and it can get stressful. But I think it has a bigger effect than we know on it. They're human, too.
Right, and I think Oregon's just like it was a top 15 matchup at home in front of a sold-out crowd, and Oregon is just historically like a pretty solid volleyball program, and, you know, they kind of came out swinging. The Gophers allowed 13 service aces against Oregon, and I think just the serve receive was another issue and point of emphasis for Keegan Cook as they kind of reevaluate and take this next couple days to figure out what to do next. They play Nebraska, which, as we know, was the national runner-up last season and kind of the volleyball capital of the world. So it'll be interesting to see how they play them, especially on the road.
But let me tell you this, Alex. There are players that step up to the moment.
That's true.
And all I'm saying is this has the makings of an upset. You know, away from home on a two-game losing streak against a top dog in number two-ranked Nebraska, I think... If I'm these Gopher volleyball players, they have something to prove, not just to the fans, but to themselves. And I think you could possibly see an upset against a very, very, very good team.
But yeah, so certainly some issues, some things to prove. Play Nebraska, and then they play Michigan at home. Sold out crowd for that one at Maturi Pavilion. Speaking of playing games at home, November 15th, Gopher Soccer hosts the first round of the NCAA tournament against South Dakota State. Jackrabbits. Are you looking forward to that game?
I'm very much looking forward to that game. I think this Gopher team are the real deal. I think, you know, that Penn State game was tough. That Penn State game was tough because, in my opinion, you know, watching the game and everything that goes within it, it's 90 minutes. It's 90 minutes for a reason. That means you can't lose your focus for 1 minute, because that 1 minute you lose your focus is the minute that they'll score on you.
And that they did.
And that they did. And I mean, it's heartbreaking, but, you know, their season isn't over. They have the NCAA tournament, and I think this is everything to play for.
Yeah, and especially, so before that Penn State game, the Gophers were undefeated at home until, of course, they lost Penn State. But with that record, I feel like, you know, that they got that, like, behind them to be like, yeah, we haven't lost a game at home except for the one Penn State game. But, like, let's just forget about that. And, you know, I'm sure Gopher fans will show out.
It's a new season. It's plain and simple like that. You know, this is their first NCAA bid since 2018. They're at home with a very, very, very good home record. And I mean, it's a moment like these. When you're in these tournaments, nothing else that happened prior to the season happens. You're just in that moment. It really doesn't matter. It's a 90-minute game, 11 players on each side. Unless somebody gets a red card, it's everything to play for. It doesn't matter what the tactics are. It doesn't matter what you do. All that matters is that they win. And I think this Gopher team has everything it takes to win. It's just, will they step up to the moment, and can they keep their focus for 90 minutes?
Well, let's talk about Kaya Harper for a minute. this is her first full season where she's been healthy. I think she was the Big Ten forward of the year. She's had quite a dominant season.
When you're a player, you know, when this is your first full season, and again, I go back to this, but because it's true, but people have stuff to play for. And Harper, 17 goals, and she was first in game-winning goals, right, and fifth in points. I mean, that alone tells you the story of, you know, these quality players, when they're playing, when they're healthy, you're going to see a whole different ball game. And she's the first Gopher to win this since April Bakken in 2018. It says a lot about her, and I'm very high up on her. But now it's the question of playoffs, you know, like the tournament. What are you going to do that you didn't do already in the regular season? Can you show us something different now? Because she's obviously proven, when it comes to pressure, she's done it 6 times. She's shown, hey, I'm going to go get you that game-winning goal. Hey, I'm going to score 17 goals in this season, and I'm going to be the Big Ten forward of the year. But now, can you do it on the biggest stage? And so that's my question to her. Are you going to fold under pressure, or are you going to be the star?
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting to see. But, you know, Gophers women's basketball plays UMass Lowell tonight. They've won their first 2 games of the season. Both were relatively solid wins. It's been great to see Mara Braun, Amaya Battle, and all these new players kind of contribute. I know Annika Stewart led the game in points in the first game, 18 over Mara Braun, 17, which I thought was pretty interesting. I mean, she's a transfer. I mean, yes, she's got 4 years of experience playing college ball over in Nebraska, transferred to her home state, Minnesota. She went to Wayzata, so she knew Mara Braun, she knew Bryn Senden, both Wayzata teammates.
You know, when you think about it, these are all stuff that really speak loud to players.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're back in your hometown, I mean, it's been, what, 4 years? She's playing in Nebraska. Yeah. She's probably now seen her family, especially if she's from Wayzata, more times than none. She already has chemistry with these other players. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of experience, maturity, and comfortability.
And it's not only her that's returning to her home state, but Taylor Woodson, former Hopkins player, played with Amaya Battle at Hopkins, returning home after a season over at Michigan, playing for the Gophers, and was also another very dominant figure in that first game against Central Connecticut State.
Two dominant wins to start this season. But I think now the test is, can you keep that up? Are you going to keep dominating? Because if you dominate these, you know, these little smaller games, that'll kind of tell the tale of what you can do against the bigger teams.
When you have the good team chemistry, you can really like pull together and get tough wins, especially in the Big Ten now that the U is going to be facing USC, Juju Watkins, UCLA. Like, they're going to have a much tougher season, in my opinion, but I could see them going to the tournament.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big story of the season is this an NCAA tournament team? And I think it's been really cool to see Mara Braun develop her game. I think we saw last season she was really working on the step back threes, which was really cool to see. Definitely a shooter. But now it seems like she's been more aggressive on the ball. I think she had 8 steals in the last game, which was a new record for a single game in Minnesota history. Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool to see her develop that element of her game. But yeah, I think her being kind of one of the solid leaders on the team, along with Amaya Battle, Nehemiah Holloway, and then Mallory Heyer, it's just going to do wonders for the recruiting team. Do you want to talk about WNBA?
It is a bit in our past now, and I will say that after all this time, I have gotten over the Minnesota Lynx losing in the championship.
I haven't.
It took me a while. Yeah, I'm better now, and you know, what will be will be. We lost. Congrats to the Liberty. All I can say is it was a great final. It was a great five-game series, and I'm really looking forward to the WNBA next year, especially with the addition of a new team coming out of Golden State, the Golden State Valkyries. That will be very interesting.
Isn't Portland getting a new team as well?
Yes, Portland, Toronto, and Golden State officially, I believe, have teams lined up, and it makes my heart happy because I think the WNBA is just...
They're ballers.
They are, and I love them. But yeah, I just think that this next season of the WNBA is going to be even better. We're going to have a 7-game final. They just made that change.
Yep. They could probably use that this year.
I felt like this finals, I felt like I was robbed of more because we got so much, and I'm just sitting there like, wow.
you know, you wouldn't think that the two star players on those teams, Nafisa Collier and Brianna Stewart, you would not think they were friends after that. But they actually co-own a new women's basketball league that is going to be starting January 2025. It's called Unrivaled, and it's a 3v3 league, which will feature 36 of the best women's basketball players in the game. Some Minnesota favorites will have Courtney Williams out there, Kayla McBride, obviously Nafisa, and then you'll also have Angel Reese, you'll have Kalia Copper, Joelle Lloyd. Like, it's absolutely stacked. And I think this 3v3 league is a great thing for women's basketball, especially because we're currently in the WNBA offseason. And typically at this time, and currently, you'll see a lot of players going overseas to play for kind of random teams. Like, because, I mean, they don't make enough money in the regular season, I think, to, you know, keep themselves afloat in the off season. And so, yeah, I bet many of you heard about what happened with Brittany Griner. She currently plays for the Phoenix Mercury. And last winter, she was detained in Russia.
Yeah.
And she was there for a year.
That's
and
insane.
It took like diplomatic like relations to get her back, which I think is just absurd. Like, I think it shook a lot of people up in the WNBA and it made a lot of people not want to travel abroad to play anymore. And so I think that that was like the seed that planted this 3v3 league. And it is already setting records for providing some of the highest salaries women have ever received in sports. All 36 initial players are going to receive equity ownership. It'll be 8 weeks long, 3v3 full court, six different teams, and then obviously we'll get a playoffs, we'll get a championship. And then special thing that they're doing, which I am...
But wait, there's more.
I'm so excited for this, and I think this is going to be big. They are having a one-on-one single elimination tournament in February to determine the best one-on-one player in the world.
Is there a difference between, you know, basketball and hooping? But what I think you're going to see here is a bunch of hoopers, you know, just hooping. Yeah. And that's kind of what the basketball culture is. That's what a lot of, you know, hoopers on the streets, you know, young kids watching relate to.
Yeah, and I think these players are going to love that as well, because when you're playing 3v3 and when you're playing one-on-one, like, you can really, like, put yourself out there and show what you're good at and, like, be cocky. And I think almost all of these players want to be doing that.
I think it's definitely amazing for the league, and I love the trajectory it's going in.
Thanks again for listening. Really appreciate it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, hot takes, disagreements, whatever it is, just feel free to send me an email at akarwowski@mndaily.com. But yeah, this podcast, The Gold Standard, was recorded by Alex Karwowski, Ahmed Hassan, and Cece Heinen. And it was produced by Cece Heinen as well. So shout out Cece. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to see you next time on The Gold Standard.